Hello, brothers and sisters. It's Jonathan. It's Wednesday night. Halfway through the week. Hang in there. It's almost Friday, right? And unless you have to work Friday and Saturday. And hopefully you're off Sunday so you can go to church and worship God. Hopefully the churches in your area are open to have that sweet fellowship with one another. That's just a beautiful thing. We've been talking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and we've been going through the key verses, our key chapter and verses that we've been looking at through this whole, I guess, preaching teaching series is Galatians 15, 16 through 26, and Matthew 7, 16 through 20. And I encourage you guys to memorize those scriptures. You know, memorization of scriptures is so powerful. You know, I was talking to my wife. I said, I wish I could memorize the whole Bible. Just have it on my heart and I could just cite it without even opening it up. But I'm not that smart. Although I got quite a few verses memorized. But I wish I could memorize the whole Bible, right? It's a beautiful thing to be able to open the Word of God and just look at the words and pray over it. And thank God to have the opportunity and the freedom in this country to be able to look at the Bible and to share the Bible with other people. But what we're doing in this study is I'm reading Galatians 15, 16 through 26 and Matthew 7, 16 through 20. And we'll do that and then we'll go into prayer and then I'll kind of do a little intro what we went over and where we're going. So, if you have your Bibles, guys, Galatians 5, 16 through 26, it goes like this. And I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to the one and the other, so that ye cannot do things ye would. Verse 18, But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hate, variance, immolation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelling, such like the which I shall tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness and faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and the lusts. Verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Matthew 7, verses 16 through 20. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes or thorns or figs or thistles? Even so, every good tree bring forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bring forth evil fruit. And a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Guys, bow with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come tonight, just thank you for the opportunity just to go over these scriptures, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you guide and you direct the words I say tonight, Lord. I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit just guides and directs this preaching series and whoever's out there needs to hear it, Lord. I don't know who's listening. I don't know how far it's going to reach. All I know is to obey and to teach on the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray, Lord, that during this, you know, halfway through this week. I don't know what everybody's going through, Lord. I pray, Lord, you be with them through wherever they're going through, Lord, their trials and tribulations. They may be out of jobs. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just be with them. I pray that you just let them, just if they're not a child of God, Lord, somehow they hear this message and or any message out there that's preaching salvation. They just hear it and they open their hearts to the true message and the true hope that within the storm, Lord, you're right there with us. You will never leave us and you will not forsake us. We go through things in life to grow. We have to be tried through the fire to be the disciples and the soldiers that you need us to be, Lord. I pray, Lord, that once again, Lord, you just be with this study and this preaching series, Lord. I humble myself, ask forgiveness of all my faults, my shortcomings, how I don't measure up. But you love me anyway. And I pray, Lord, that we walk more in the spirit and less in the flesh. I pray raise up Christians that want to live a life of holiness and righteousness. And not satisfied with not living those. A desire to live more in the fruit of the spirit and less in the works of the flesh. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, we're doing this, and I've been pausing throughout this series and hitting on salvation here and there. It's very important through all of this, and whoever's out there is listening, that to know that you're a child of God. So, within this series, I've been pausing and preaching on salvation, and I may preach next week on salvation before we finish it out with the last fruit of the Holy Spirit. Very important, guys, so check those out if you need to. Check those out if you're not certain, you know, of what salvation is. I encounter a lot of people that just can't explain the salvation. They can't give you no scriptures on it. They don't understand what it is. If they don't understand what it is, and to me that's almost impossible for them to know, to believe something. If you don't even know it, how can you believe in it? It's like, for example, apple pie, right? I can tell you how good apple pie is. I can help tell you how sweet and how good it tastes, and you can sit there and listen to me, and you probably can maybe believe that it's good, but until you taste of the apple pie, until you actually experience the apple pie, then you believe in your heart. And that's why knowing how to explain your salvation is very important. One of the first things as a Christian, wrapping my head around salvation and a lot of misconceptions on the salvation, but when we're looking at the fruit of the Holy Spirit, it's very important. Those that have the Holy Spirit that now lives inside them is the fruit, to know the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And what we have looked at, we've looked at love. We have looked at joy. And love, I'll say, is agape. And you can go up there and find the podcast on love. It's agape, it's unconditional, it's a genuine love, it's a unsacrificial love, right? It's what you see when God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins on that horrible cross. And joy, we simply as Jesus over you, Jesus over me. Our joy don't derive from ourselves; it derives from Jesus. In peace, of course, peace that surpasses all understanding, that is the peace in God. Long-suffering, long and suffering. We don't really like talking about long-suffering too much, but within that experience, God starts crafting us into the disciples and soldiers that we need to be, and goodness and faith. And today, I would like to look at meekness. first thing I want to say, when we look at meekness, guys, meekness is not weakness. I mean, the world looks at meekness, immediately they will define meekness as weakness. And why would the world view this as weakness? Because the world views a strong person who is assertive, takes charge, proud, self-sufficient, self-reliable, independent. But a meek person, if you look, is the opposite of those things. Therefore, many people associate meekness with weakness. A meek person is willing to be submissive, and of course, is humble and gentle, and relies on God, and is dependent on Him to provide strength. You see, a meek person understands that God has it. An illustration that I came across, and it's a simple illustration. Maybe it'll kind of drive the point. For instance, imagine you're in a schoolyard and a bully shows up and he throws a punch at you, right? And you can't defend yourself, so he knocks you down. You know, you're there, you got bruised now. Because you couldn't defend yourself, you could define that as weak. But if you're able to defend yourself, but you take the punch anyway, that is meekness. Now, don't misconstrue what I'm trying to say here. When we walk more in the Spirit and less in the flesh, the Holy Spirit guides and directs us on when to take action and when not to take action. There's a time to listen, and there's a time to fight. I'm not saying you need to know when to hold them. You know, you need to know when to fold them, and you know when to go all in. And see, the more we walk in the Holy Spirit, more we depend on God directing us in each situation. And that's with meekness, right? When we look at the scriptures on meekness, Ephesians 4, and I mean, there's a lot of scriptures, guys. Ephesians 4, verse 1 through 2 says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech ye that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love." This is Paul, and he's speaking to the Ephesians, of course, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and still speaking to us today. He lumps, you know, meekness with, or categorized meekness with lowliness and long suffering, which long suffering, we talked, is another fruit of the Holy Spirit, forbearing one another in love. And we already went over long suffering, and you can check that out. And that's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, long and suffering, which is tough, right? When you're going through those challenges in life, and you feel like you're knocked down, and you don't know what to reach up for, and you just. It's a lot of times we just got to put our faith and give it to God, right? And you'll see, and I hope you kind of guys are formulating a picture now of these fruit of the Holy Spirit. So it is being more like Jesus, because He demonstrated this all through His life. And when you look at the, you know, Mark, you know, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and then you can see it in John 2, how God, Jesus sent, how He lived His life is the way we're supposed to live our lives. James 1, verse 2 through 4 says, "But my brother, count it all joy when you fall in divers temptations," that is many temptations, "knowing this is trying your faith, work patience, but the patience have a perfect work, ye may be perfect entirely, wanting nothing." You see, the Holy Spirit, when we're going through things, and when you look, even when Jesus was, you know, He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and He was just under so much travail, and He was sweating blood. Some commentaries would view that as He was just, or His tears were blood. They would just say that's just he was crying a lot, but there's actually a medical condition out there that where you can be under, it's rare, but you can be under so much stress, the capillaries in, when you cry, they actually turn to blood, and that's how much anguish he was in. But when he was said and done, he said, "Not my will be done, but thy will," right? That's amazing. That's amazing. He knew that he could stop what he was about to happen. His meekness there in that garden. He knew he could call the angels down and they would rescue him from all the pain and all the suffering he was going to endure on that cross. And if you guys haven't read through that, just read through the crucifixion. It's hard for me even to, you know, I've read it a few times. It's hard to sit there and read that and without, you know, crying. And if you really want to be a visual person, I would say rent, or you can't really rent it anymore. The Passion of the Christ, buy it and watch it. You know, there's, you know, inadequacies within there, but the crucifixion throughout the is very accurate. Actually, Mel Gibson had to cut scenes out of it because it was too graphic. So when you're seeing all that thing, all that suffering and all that hate and that him be and our Jesus being tortured, it's hard to see that. But he did it because he loves this world, even though the world didn't love him and still doesn't. You know, when we look at 1 Timothy 6:11 through 12, it says this. It said, "But thou, O man, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience," and you will hear their meekness again. "And of course, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, therefore thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Colossians 3, verse 12 puts it this way, "Put on therefore as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind," and of course, meekness again, and long-suffering again in there. Titus 3 verse 2 says this, "To speak evil of no man, to no brawler, but gentle, shewing all mercy unto all men." James 1 verse 23 said, "Therefore lay apart all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the grafted word, which is able to save your soul." The grafted word, I mean, I love that language, and of course I'm reading from the King James, "to engraft the word, which is able to save your soul." You know, I'll look at laying apart all filthiness and superfluous knowledge. You know, one thing I was kind of figuring where I'm going to put it in this sermon series, and you know, the tongue is a deadly thing. If you look at Proverbs 12, verse 18, it says, there is that speak like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue is the wise health. Ephesians 4, 29 tells us, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Today, you just look at the filth that comes out of people's mouth. But it said, but that which is good to you, the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit." And you hear that word "fruit" thereof. And when we think of fruit, we can go back down to Matthew 7, when it says, "By their fruits you will know them." And of course, that's fruits, that is plural. And at the very beginning of this series sermon, I kind of went over the fruit singular in Galatians and the fruits in Matthew 7, and kind of broke those down for you guys. But the kind of the gist and the point that I want to make is we should walk more in the Spirit. When we reflect back on our life, when we're through, say for instance, end of the day, right? I like to sit there and when I'm at home and reflect on the day. Did I speak life? Did I speak death? Was I, when people look at me, did they see Jesus? Or did they see something else? You know, and doing that on a daily basis, I mean, you come across with some hard truths, and then of course you repent, and you just pray that, or I pray, and that's why I say memorize these scriptures, is Lord, let me walk more in your love. Let me walk more in your long suffering. I know those are tough words, but we need to pray those. Let me walk more in your gentleness and goodness, your joy and your peace, your temperance, your meekness, and your faith. Lord, my tongue tame. Because see, we can't tame our tongue. Only the Holy Spirit that's in us can tame the tongue. And that is submission, right? Submission to God. You know, James 3, verse 6 says the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. That's sin. So is the tongue among our members that defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it's set on fire of hell. And then you'll see James 3, 5 say, even so, the tongue is a little member, boasts great things. We hold how great matter a little fire kindles. The tongue is a deadly thing. We should listen more, react less. The tongue can destroy a testimony quicker. Because people are watching, guys. They're watching you. You know? Especially when you're out there claiming a Christianity. Nobody's saying, hey, pronounce that you're a Christian. A lot of times in the workplace, they don't even want to hear the word. But you make a boast that you are, then all eyes are on you. Your life is under a microscope, like it or not. And they're watching your every move, the what you say, what you do, the way you behave. They're looking for an excuse, as they did with Jesus. Jesus walked this earth, and his ministry began, they walked and they watched, try to watch every move he made and try to catch him in every wrong they thought they could do, the Pharisees and Sadducees, right? As a follower of Jesus, a disciple of Jesus, we are under that same microscope, like it or not. Don't use any excuses. Jesus is still working on me and is still living your sin. Jesus never, when Jesus walked this earth, he didn't say, oh, oops, I messed up. Oh, well, it'll be all right. No! You see, Jesus spoke on holiness more than anything. He said, follow my ways. He said, my ways are the right ways. He says, the narrow way is the right way. The wide way is the bad way. You go down that way, that wide way, you will go to hell. If you have the Holy Spirit living inside you, he corrects you and guides you and directs you and pulls you to that narrow path. If he's not, then you do not have the Holy Spirit living inside you. Not my words. Those are Jesus' words. Because he tells us to comfort, will guide and direct us all through the scripture. He tells us that he chastens those that he loves. And those that he don't, which he used strong language, are bastards. They're not his sons. That's not my words. That is the Bible. You may get angry at me. Maybe you're the only one hearing a preacher tell you this. Well, praise God. At least somebody has the courage to preach the Word of God. James 3 verse 13 says this, "And who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of good conversation, his works with meekness of wisdom." Guys, when we look at this, we can kind of get a definition. I've pulled this definition up kind of like this. Meekness, therefore, an active and deliberate acceptance of undesirable circumstances are wisely seen by an individual as only part of a larger picture. That larger picture is God. He's in control. We are not in control. Our God, He has it. This involves trust, trusting in God. You see, trust in God is the first step in a lot of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, especially meekness. Meekness begins when we put our trust in God, truly our trust in God. So we commit our ways to God. We give Him our anxieties, our frustrations, our plans, our relationships, our jobs, our health. We give that to Him. And then we wait patiently for the Lord. We trust His timing, His power, His grace to work things out in the best way for His glory and for His good. Romans 8:28 tells us, "And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called to His purpose." You see, trusting God and waiting patiently, we do not have to get that quick jump off the cliff reaction. You know, you get hit with something, suddenly you're ready to jump off that cliff, right? Sometimes that cliff, there ain't no water down there, right? I'll see pictures of people jumping off cliffs in a beautiful water. And man, on a hot day, I would love to go jump off in a cliff with nothing but ice cold spring water, right? But we can't react. We take our matters to one who already has it. We give it to Him instead of jumping on that coworker that just rubs you the wrong way, or a family member that just, you know, just says that negative reaction, the negative thing, just at that point where you're kind of just irritated. Or that supervisor or manager, you just knows how to push those buttons, upset you. If you just give it to God, be a disciple of Jesus Christ, and you trust Him and commit your ways to Him and wait patiently for Him. And all these, of course, with prayer and supplications, right? Pray like your life depends on it. And just sit there and watch God deliver you and guide you and direct you. But we got to get all that noise out of our head, right? We got to, when we walk more in the Spirit, when we give it to God and we say, "You got it," and truly give it to Him. And we become people of prayer, that we don't go a day, you know, getting up in the morning. I love praying in the morning, starting the day out right. But I don't stop there. I pray all throughout the day. And then, of course, when I get home, we should be a praying people. But you need to understand, when we trust God in each situation, it's the answer that we're getting may not be the answer that we have in mind. You know, I can give an example. You know, I'm at work, and you know, I'm in my car, and I do maintenance, right? And my poor car can't put a lot of stuff in there, you know. And I kept praying to God that, "Lord, let me be able to get a vehicle, right? I would like to have a truck," and you know, you just kind of, "Lord," but ended up, my work, they put me in a position where I would have a company van. It added more stress and more workload, but He still answered my prayer. The answer you get may not be the answer you have in mind. Just keep that in mind. And sometimes the prayer is no. Sometimes the prayer is yes. And sometimes you have to wait. Be patient. Wait on it in God's timing. And I'm very impatient. I've struggled with that. I'm getting better, but I still struggle with that. Even with writing this sermon, man, I struggle with meekness. I like to react. I'm a reactor. I'm like a ticking time bomb. And when I was writing this sermon, I'm like, man, Lord, I need my meekness. That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit that I need. Begin, Lord, just be patient with me, because you know I'm not very meek. You know, I also want to show when we're meek, one way that meekness is kind of developing in our life is, of course, when we trust God, but we go through things in life, and the pain and the suffering we may experience in this life is nothing compared to joy and the awesomeness that is waiting for us after, right? But through those storms and those challenges and those valleys, He's crafting us. He's making us. The more we go through these things, the stronger we become. That we come out, I think of the story of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And they were thrown in that fire, and through all that, they said, well, we know our God can save us. If not, that's all right. Wow. Can we be people like that when we're going through a fire? That's crazy, right? You know, the three people in the Bible is being kind of classified as meek when you really look at the scriptures. Of course, Jesus. And you can see that all through the scriptures. And of course, Paul. You can see that in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 1. And then you see it all through about halfway through Acts. You can just read this incredible story of Paul. And then, of course, Moses. You know, I'm thinking of Paul in Acts 16, 22 through 29, and I'll just read it. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates ripped off their clothes, commanded them to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, of course charging the jailer to keep them safe, who, having received such charge, they thrust him into the inner prison. And made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sung praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. And so that the foundation of the prison was shaken. And immediately all the doors were open. And everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison awake out of the sleep. And seeing the prison doors were open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing the prisoner had been fleeced. They would have put him to death. But Paul cries out with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And he called for a light, and they sprung in and came trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas. This is such an amazing story, or I'll say a historical accurate recording of Paul and Silas. And they were beaten and stripped down and thrown into a prison that was just fested with probably rats and roaches and all kind of filth, and they were bound, but they were able to pray and sing praises. Wow, that's just incredible, guys. Can we be children of God like that? Can we be disciples and soldiers for God like that? Can we trust God within every situation that we face that may be horrible? See, meekness comes with life, and all the challenges we face with standing up for the Word of God. If we experience suffering, our meekness will grow, because we know that God can deliver us. But if He does not, that's okay, because He got it. See, that's very important. And when we look at Matthew 7, 16 through 20, it says, "Ye shall know them by their fruits." You know, one of the fruits, You know, meekness produces characteristics. Patience is one of them, of course. And of course, do men gather grapes or thorns or figs or thistles? Not even so. Good tree bring forth good fruit, but corrupt tree bring forth evil fruit. And a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. This is just incredible, guys. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hemmed down and cast in the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you shall know them. We are supposed to be fruit inspectors. When somebody's up professing that they are Christian, we should know them by their fruits, not because of my words, because of Jesus' words. Do they have meekness? Do they listen more than they react? Do they, in all situations, they said, God willing, in work, at home, in school. God's got this. It'll be okay. Are they fast to just loose and their tongue is just rattling and it's untamed because they do not let the Holy Spirit guide and direct them? And even when they do, the conviction of the Holy Spirit's not there because they keep on doing it. I can guarantee you with the conviction, because I know, guys, because I've been under the conviction and the chastisement of Jesus. And I try to trust more and obey a lot more than I used to because the chest and rod can be hard. Led me down some very dark roads. As we wrap this sermon up tonight, guys, I want to ask you a question. Does your fruit of the Holy Spirit, meekness, when you look across your life, across today, across next week, month, year, where's your meekness at? As in all of these fruit of the Holy Spirit, we should examine our life every day to see that the fruit of the Holy Spirit has been manifest in our lives. Because it says, ye shall know them by their fruits. And that very answer, that tree that bring not forth good fruit is hemmed down and cast into the fire. Meaning, the tree that does not bring good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. And that is a negative thing. I take that as they were not his from the get-go, so they were cut down. You see, there's a time coming soon, and possibly in this nation, where being that kind of straddling the fence Christian, that professing Christian that professes something that their heart is so far from it, they don't demonstrate, they don't care about walking in the fruit of the Spirit, they don't care about living a holy and righteous life. It's only just something for Sunday. It's a mask. One day soon, God's going to cut that down. And you're going to have to, at that point in time, you may have that head knowledge. You don't have to realize, I'm going to have to go all in my heart and truly open my heart to God. Or you will say, no, it's not worth it. And I hope within that day, you will realize it's all worth it. Regardless of all the struggles and the challenges and the persecution that we face on this earth is only temporary, as we've seen with Paul and Silas. One day we will have joy unspeakable. We'll have no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears, guys. I hope to see you guys in the new heaven and earth with me, doing all the things that's so beautiful to God in His name and His glory forever and ever. As you guys bow with me, we'll close out with prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to just go over these scriptures tonight. Thank you, God, for guiding this sermon. I didn't know exactly how it was going to turn out, but I just feel the Holy Spirit all over it. I pray that who's out there that needs to hear this message, they just latch onto it, God. I pray, Lord, if they don't understand salvation, let you send somebody to explain salvation scripture by scripture by scripture. Not their opinions, but through the Word of God. If I said anything today that was away from the Word of God, Lord, just let somebody call me out. I always say check everything I say and see if it follows the Word of God, not my words, because I'm nobody and you're everything. Let our hearts yearn to walk in the Spirit every day, to have less flesh and more you. Let ourself decrease and you increase in everything we do, God. Lord, I pray that you be with whoever is out there today, Lord, to get through the rest of the week, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you just help us through these times. And even if they get worse, Lord, give us strength to endure to the end and to let our light shine within the darkness as you call us to do. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ, amen. Love you guys. If you guys need any questions about this sermon or any topic you guys want to talk about, you can always catch me on Facebook. My phone number is on my website. You can also, I got my address there. You can send me a letter, or we can do the old-fashioned writing letters back and forth, or we could do the PM messaging, or on this website you can have type in the message and it'll send it straight to my email. So there's many opportunities. I'm wide open. Love you guys. Y'all have a good night.